Welcome to episode 4 of the Level 5 podcast with Eric Reynolds. My name's Steve Willoughby, and we want to talk about Level 5 leadership. We want to talk about how you can help your team grow and, candidly, how they can help you grow. Grow in terms of leadership, grow in terms of serving and adding value to your customers and adding value and growing revenue. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing well.
I'm ready to dive in this. Yeah, ever this since you gave stuff. Me these notes, I'm like, all right, how can you become a next generation leader? And there's so many different notes down there that triggered some thoughts. I want to try to stay out of the way and let you do this podcast. But it's interesting that we're having this podcast right now because of one of the meetings I had. And I want to start there real quick. I talked to our leadership team and I said, right now, we have to do what we're doing because we're growing, but you guys are doing too much. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying necessarily you're working too hard, but you're doing too much. And whereby I was raised that don't have that executive-itis and we need you working and all of this kind of stuff, I'm not looking for executive-itis, but I am looking for you to make sure you have the time to train your team, to train what needs to happen, to make sure we're doing those behaviors and giving you time to sit back and really gauge what's happening scoreboard-wise, what the scoreboard is saying and maybe not saying, and all of those different things. And if all we're doing every day is keeping the hamster wheel going, we're not there. Yeah. Was I off base?
No, you're right on base as far as the topic today, right? This book, which is by Andy Stanley, The Next Generation Leader, hits you right in the face, right off of bat in page one. Quite simply said, you are doing too much. And it's an interesting thing that develops. It creeps on leaders over time. And there are certain leaders that want to always demonstrate themselves as a leader because they throw whatever yoke it is on their back and they start plowing forward, right? See how I do this. See how I go forward. And the reality is, you're doing too much because you're, for lack of a better term, you're not letting your other employees breathe. Mm-hmm. And you're also not exercising the types of mental muscles and attributes and strengths of their character and abilities that you need to understand in order to be successful.
One of the things I say that really makes people, sometimes I get patted on the head and sometimes I get kicked and sometimes they just roll their eyes. But
you got a bruise up here.
I know. But sometimes when you talk about life, I'm third, and those types of things, and you put your family second, maybe you say God's first, family second, I'm just not sure that's how that is. I mean, I'm not sure you don't need to be second in that situation so mm-hmm. you can be strong enough to go. There was a lot of examples of Jesus being out on his own. Whatever the Bible means for you on eternity, just the Bible talks about that, being by himself to kind of rejuvenate and all of that.
Yeah.
And when I talk about that, people can really say, no, my family comes before me. Well, but if you're not strong enough, what does that mean? I mean, what can you do for your family if you're weak and tired and don't have the energy to serve them?
You can walk about in catabolic energy all the time is the answer to your question, right? That's what we talked about last time.
And catabolic is not the good stuff.
No, not the good stuff. No, it's not sustaining. It's draining. And when you think about that, I love that point that you bring up of Jesus always going off, right? I'm sure the disciples were like, oh, not again. Yeah. He's going off again. He's right. Where is he? There's constant, where is Jesus? Well, I was with my Father.
Yep.
And, restoring and rejuvenating in the sense of what he was going through. But just as individuals on this earth, we face so much so fast now, particularly in today's society with technology. Expectations for responses have just been accelerated beyond belief at times. So one of the things that you can quickly get wrapped up into is go, go, go and do, do, do. And I completely agree with you. If you are exhausted, you are not of much use to someone else. And that's a key component where once you're out of the picture, the rest of whatever you're doing can really crumble at sure. that point as a leader.
Yeah. No succession plan there. And I understand I'm using that a little loosely, but man, if you're not growing your team and letting them lead and making decisions, first of all, they could teach you with the decision they made of, wow, that is not how I would have handled that, but I kind of liked how you handled that right there, you know? And sometimes it can go wrong. We get that. But, you know, success isn't not making mistakes. You're going to fail your way to success. But if you never allow them to achieve that or try that, they're not going to someday, when you're gone, become a leader.
That's right. Yeah, it's a complete vacuum after your departure in that sense. And it's intriguing because and I'll keep everyone nameless here, but I was at I was invited to be on a panel for Elevate Branson, Elevate Work.
Great organization.
Yeah, great organization here in Branson. And it was they were bringing in various business owners from the area and just having them share their experiences with the students, right? And the basic premise is, for someone, they didn't wake up and they weren't born a bank president.
Right.
So how did they actually get to bank president in that case? So we were sharing our stories, and there was another gentleman on the panel who has many businesses and was actually so challenged with getting the words out. It was almost as if it was exhausting for him to try and describe how difficult it was currently to juggle all the balls he had in the air at that time across his businesses. And one of the recurrent themes that he would bring up when asked was, make sure you are hiring good people.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you've got individuals who can learn and show aptitude. And you could almost tell that he was speaking from a remorseful sense of, you know, I'm now into this 20 years and I regret, I'm paying the price for not actually taking that approach from the start. So this is something that can become cumulative. Because what will happen, everyone, if you're out there doing too much, everyone in that room will expect you to keep doing that.
Yeah.
And so they don't even know what they're thinking. Well, maybe I can get the, you know, hour and 45 minute lunch in today because Steve's got it handled. So you, and like I said, it creeps up on all of us. It really does. Because there's this, for those of us who are inclined enough to take a leadership position, we're going to have that, step aside there. Let me grab this and I'll show you how it's done type thing. And if you're going to do it right, you got to do it yourself. That phrase has become a real bogey out there for leaders.
So when I came back here in 2020, I wouldn't let them give me a key. and I said, if I need a key, then I don't need all you guys. And I was just trying to make a point there. We've talked about that before. Hey, this is still you. I'm not going to come downstairs and learn all this stuff again. This is going to be you guys, and I'm going to stay out of the way, and you're going to do it, and we're going to succeed and fail. But, I mean, I've got the key now, because sometimes we do Saturday podcasts, but I've got the key now. But it was very important, and I was very intentional about that this is not the old business. This is not, okay, I'm in charge and everything's going to come through me. We're in charge and we're going to go together on moving forward on this. And I think sometimes I see leaders and, you know, candidly, I hate some of the terms. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to work anymore. Maybe they don't want to work for you. I mean, you know, maybe that's a you problem. And I've offended a few people because I've said, maybe that is a you problem. Have you thought about that?
Yeah.
And when we look at this, how can you be the next generation leader? You know, one of the things you talk about here is the less you do, the more you enable others to accomplish. But also the other thing I like is you talk about the different gifts, another Bible reference there, but you talk about the different gifts. There's a whole bunch of things I can't do. And I'm okay with saying I'm not your guy in that. I'm not the guy to get this across the goal line, right? I mean, yeah. We need to hand this off to somebody else that can do it. And I see that as a level of leadership. I have been told, you can't tell your people you can't do something. And I'm going, this isn't the 1970s. I mean, you know, they right. know that.
Right.
I've hired smart people. They understand I yes. can't do that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you're not a unicorn. Quite right. simply, right? You're not, as the expression of that goes, able to do everything perfectly. You're not a mythical beast. And in those cases, when you try to act along those lines, it only causes downstream damage from you. So, and when you're talking about leader and leading, you're setting the example of You know, talking to people who are technically perhaps below you on the chain of command, I am giving you all the ability to be leaders in your areas. And I have an expectation that you have. You're here because I think you're great in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You're here, Joe, because you seem to have an operational logistic mind like no other. Those are all gifts. And as you mentioned, it's in Romans 12:6, we have different gifts. And it goes on to talk about leadership. And it says, if leadership is the gift, then let them lead diligently mm-hmm. in that case. So you, even though you are, and so many new leaders, and this is where it's critical within an organization, if you're mentoring someone, they have this concept of, if I am going to be a leader, if I'm going to get a management position, I've got to be great at everything. And you really need to develop individuals based off of their skill sets and have the courage to put them in areas where they believe and you know they excel.
So help me with this, because I think I can get off topic just a little bit or need some guardrails in this thinking. Eric, I get really concerned when people talk about people's weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. We all have strengths. I mean, we've talked about that. But if we spend all of our time focusing on the weaknesses, for years in this industry, it's been me seemingly talking to, you know, we've got Eric. He's a great prospector. He's a great first impression guy. He's a great closer, but he sucks at service. Let's get him some help with service. And the answer's always been, he needs to learn how to serve. Okay, I'm not saying he doesn't need to do a few things in that area, but he's not going to become as great in the service area as he is opening doors. Let's let him go open doors.
Yeah.
To me, that's leadership, but I have kind of been smacked down in my life having that thinking that you got to hold your people accountable. Well, that's two different things as far as I'm concerned. And
right.
I hope it fits in those different gifts. That's what I'm trying to bring it back around.
No, it does. And in those situations, if you, I can just tell, you know, personally for me, if you strap me with service requirements for an organization, my other skills will diminish. Mm-hmm. My energy will start to go down. And I will get into a different mindset because I am not sort of being used in my best instance for the organization, right? I'm not towards the gifts and the things that lift me and energize me and I feel that I'm good at in those scenarios. So it's not only it, what's crazy about your example is in the pursuit of well-roundedness.
Yes.
You are just diminishing that person as a leader, period. You're defeating them. And this is a classic, I'm sure business owners and managers and executives and leaders can relate to this, the constant tug of war between sales and operations, right?
Yep. Yep.
Someone in a room is going to say, well, the roles are clear here. It's sales sells the dream, and in operations, we service the nightmare.
Yeah.
That situation. Yeah. So, and I will say you're 1,000% correct
mm-hmm.
because John over there needs to believe that he is out there and know that he is selling the dream. Now, he doesn't need to be in a fantasy land, right? He needs to know that operations has his back and will support him in that case. But you start bogging John down with customer problems because operations is not doing well. Watch your sales tank.
Right.
Just watch them tank. Because at some point, individuals, and I, we may have said this early on, I'm not sure, but I have a firm belief that people buy people when it comes to sales. And it's so it's a reputational business, right? And if you're the one selling and nobody's lifting that behind you and you're they're just failing the customer, you're going to start to get worried, right? You're going to start to look around and go, well, okay, so I'm a healthcare technology guy. I've sold that my entire career. If I'm selling to hospitals and health systems, but I'm selling them things that aren't being delivered on, how are they going to buy from me again if I switch companies? You know, it begins to, they start to draw inward and go, okay, I'm going to be a little protectionist here and get a new job.
Right.
So there are always consequences for that.
And if as the salesperson, you're the only person that customer sees, that is a terrible position in my terrible position for the company to be in my opinion, because you get hit by the bus, you hit the lottery, you get picked away from another company. All of a sudden, that company's starting all over with that. And that was one of the things we saw here and really trying to get that service team going, that more people are touching you and helping you, whether it's production, whether it's customer service, whether it's more sales, whatever it is. But you have more support instead of less support as a salesperson, but also more importantly, maybe as the customer, hey, I know Stephanie, I know Josh, I feel like I'm a part of this instead of just dealing with one person.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right back to level five in that case, right? Everyone is actively working to get other people on the team the win in that scenario. And if you have, there is nothing that will ignite a sales team more than a cheerful operational group. Because, again, back to you know what we said, everyone's in sales, right? If that handoff to the next level of your organization is met with this cheerful, welcome to the company, here's our process for this situation. I'm here to help you if you need it. I know my role. I know what I'm great at. And trust me, I've met people that are great at this. It's what they love to do. High level fours, as an example, right? You win. That's the short, that's the catchphrase. Fantastic operational folks in that sense. And that salesperson can walk out and begin to do what they do again, because it is a process to get a new customer without having to be distracted and dragged down by ones that they've already sold.
And our example here is when somebody comes in and they're on an interview with Josh Grisham, and he made it fun and he made it relaxing and he made it, I mean, that means something to me. That's starting to draw that line from, you know, Josh Grisham to revenue. Right.
Yes.
And all of that. And I think from a company point of view, you've got to be able to take a say and say, OK, we're trying to get these customers in. We're trying to earn business. But how do we make them feel at the end of it? That I go back. Yeah. I go back to the customers. How'd you hear about us? Well, that's a you question and a you problem. And I guess you can ask that question. A lot of people smarter and more successful from me that says you have to ask that question. For me, instead of that, how can you make them happy they chose you and perhaps come back to the point you really don't care how they heard about you because you're coming back and back and back and becoming a raving fan. But how do you hear about us is like, I'm really not concerned you're here. I want to know that my advertising is working. That's what I want to know.
That's
right.
Now. That's right.
So, you know, rethink that a little.
Well, and, you know, the undeniable truth, you know, when you think of such phrases as begin with the end in mind, right? So what is the end of that customer arc? Well, I would argue that there's multiple endings. All of them begin with, so what was your experience with so-and-so?
Right.
Someone's going to ask them that question. And if they cannot give you a plug at that point, that's the end.
Yep.
Right? That's it. You can worry about everything else. And some companies get fixated on bringing a customer back for return business so much that they irritate them mm-hmm. on hounding them for the next bit of business that they then don't answer that question or politely, shall we say, as well.
Right.
So there, those are all individual based on the business, but you have to understand and map out how you want that conversation to go and build that backwards through your organization. And newsflash, it's not all about you doing every one of those steps, right?
Exactly.
It's not like you have to, if you have to sit down and be the one to figure out that, then I would let you know within a month or two of being with your organization that you've got a real talent problem in the organization. You've got misalignment. You may have five ops people, one salesperson, and complete knowledge and sort of competency voids in marketing and shipping and finance. You know, it's a case of where you have to own up to everyone's strengths and make sure you've got those aces in the right area.
As we talk about leaders, well, let's remind you, you're listening to episode 4 of the Level 5 podcast. His name is Eric Reynolds. He is owner operator of Level 5 Consulting. You can learn more at LVL5. That's the number 5. LVL, number 5, consulting.com. Find out about him on Facebook at EQR Coach or on LinkedIn, Eric Q. Reynolds. And the Q is important there, so you can find the right Eric Reynolds. We're talking about you becoming a next generation leader. Our conversation today is really some of the concepts discussed, as Eric talked about, is from Andy Stanley's book, Next Generation Leader. You know, when we talk about leaders, and whether it's a basketball coach or a baseball coach or just a mentor, I mean, as a leader, you can impact families' lives. You can impact people's lives. You can really have that strong impact. But you can also have an impact in a negative way. And sometimes, you know, you and I are, I think, fairly close to the same age, and it was different in the 80s and 90s growing up.
You're 27?
It was different in the 80s and 90s growing up because it was a little, you know, they could chew your ass and bark at you and you're back the next day. And just the way it was.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying from time to time a little bit of that is not needed, but that's not the workforce today. I mean, God rest his soul, R.H. Willoughby's going to have a hard time putting a team together today because it's tough to say that's my name on the door and you're going to do what I say. It's tough to have that relationship and really grow. And, you know, Todd or Loud, again, another sports analogy, but we talk a lot about that. Hey, we failed. We own that failure. We own that failure because it's the only way to win is get better and make adjustments. And if it's Eric's fault or if it's the customer's fault or if it's somebody outside these four walls, we can't take control of that and we can't do anything about it. So leadership is so important. And when I say that, it's not the guy at the top or lady at the top. It's all throughout. Does that person that answers that phone feel like they're a leader in that organization?
Yeah. Yeah, there's, and you know, leadership around, it's kind of interesting going back to the less you do, the more you enable others to accomplish, right? You really have to take a honest look at the skill sets that you have on the team. I can remember a time when I was in an organization where I had a team that had what I would call several account management aces. They were just fantastic at holding the hand of a customer, building a relationship, being that point of escalation, case operations stumbled, someone's there to help you, and getting them to buy new business. So in the some terms, a farmer for your business, right? They're going through your existing client base. What I realized, though, was that we were missing a competency on the team, and we were missing a quote-unquote sales guy. The stick that hand out there, smile, shake it firmly, we're the best at this, I want to talk with everybody in your organization, I want to have 20 phone calls during a day. I want to do those things. So I hired an individual that was completely unaware of the healthcare technology arena that we were in, for the sole purpose that I just thought he was an example of that individual and wanted to add that to the collective of the team, that skill set. And I knew others could learn from him, and I obviously hoped that he could learn from others. And it was such a fantastic, I mean, everybody jumping in to help him understand what he was doing, but new sales just started to climb and climb and climb. So, you know, you just need to, if you've got someone that's in a role and they're not really passionate or cheerful, as I like to say, about doing that particular task, what do you think their life's like? You know, they're trying to do it for you. They're coming in and they're in that position maybe because the previous leader put them there or something along those lines. You can really help them out by having some honest conversations around, hey, what floats your boat? Mm-hmm. You know, what gets you going in the morning? How can you, you know, where could we maybe move you to a different area where you have more passion associated with something like that? So you really have to lead in that sense. And again, it quite simply doesn't mean you do everything better than anyone else.
That could have backfired, though, right? Bringing in the sales guy. Could have. Now you've got the absolutely. Account managers, and what are we doing? And I know all of this.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've heard a lot of dumb things, but this is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I was trying to bring somebody into this organization and had zero radio experience. And this is 10 years ago. Had zero radio experience. I mean, the only experience he had was he was responsible for $5 billion in sales, and he had five different people working for him that were responsible for $1 billion each. So he had an understanding of processes and systems that we didn't. And what I was told was, we just got to have people with 20, 30 years of radio experience. And I actually looked around and said, you can't swing a cat in here without hitting 20 or 30 years of experience. Here's where we are. Well, how are we going to change?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no need to continue on with the rest of the conversation. But sometimes that mindset, man, with leaders, we got the five best account managers. We can't bring anybody else that doesn't know what they know. It's not sustainable. It's not energizing enough, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the greatest thing in that situation is to find someone that's got the experience and the passion, right? Mm-hmm. That's, you know, okay, great. You're going to just hit the ground running. At the same time, when you get the skill sets that you're looking for and you kind of sense that as a leader, like, okay, this is going to shake things up a bit when this individual comes in the door. And, you know, obviously every situation can be different there.
Sure.
But the old, I never buy the argument of, well, we need, you know, the experienced individual who's got X, and that's the only person that can do that. The first thing that, why as a question is already working its way up out of me because I want to hear that reasoning and talk about that.
You talk about empower leaders around you by delegating, and we've talked about that just a little bit. The other thing I tend to do a lot, and maybe it's, but I'm very quick to point out my weaknesses. We have her name Sharita. She's a leader of this company, and she's so much better of a negotiator than I am. And I talk about that on a regular basis. And I say, we got a negotiation coming up. I want Sharita to take the lead on that because I kind of fold like a cheap suit because for whatever reason, that's not a strength of mine, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting because what I hope people would look at and say, it's okay to say I'm bad at something or I need help at something. And I've had people say, well, you need to go take a negotiating course and do all of that. Well, that's not what I do necessarily, you know?
Right.
I mean, I guess that could be right. But if you're trying to BS everybody that you got to figure it out as a leader, I question if you're a leader or not.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to run around taking courses and everything, you know, just so that you can, you know, beef up your skill set in that particular area. Again, there's only so much of you as that can be spread out over so much area, right? So focusing on the areas of your core strengths are critical, your marketing ability in that sense, right? It's okay that you can't negotiate like Sherita in the example that you gave. And I think that one of the things, just to back up a step from there, is as a business leader or managing a team within a company, you know, there are pretty strenuous processes, and there are some where there is no process of determining what the manpower and the people power look like on teams, right? You really need to look at that from a standpoint of the existing skills that you have within your organization and what you need to augment that, where people are not strong in certain areas, where they might not be comfortable. Don't look at it from a simple overhead view of, I need this many troops on the battlefield in order to win that particular, you know, war. You need to understand, to your point, that you've got a Sherita, as mm-hmm. you're talking about, right? And I can pull Sherita in that situation. If you don't have a Sherita, you need to find one,
right,
that's good at that.
Right.
There are people that are good at those things. And why that's critical is because obviously there's a cost with those resources, right? And you need to understand, this is really what the team needs to look like. And that can vary, but you don't want to get in a situation where you've sort of just done X's and O's on the page. You've set the budget, as an example, for what those are. And you realize once you get out there, you've got a vacuum in two key areas of skills that, guess what, your competitor doesn't have a vacuum mm-hmm. in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to have some flexibility built into that and an understanding of what makes your people tick and what they're really good at.
You're listening to episode 4 of the Level 5 podcast. And you can learn more about Eric Reynolds, your host of the podcast, at his website, lvl5consulting.com, on Facebook at EQR Coach, and on LinkedIn at Eric Q. Reynolds. Let's stay there for just a second. Somebody's listening. They've been listening to the episodes. They want to talk to you. Kind of take them by the hand. What's that process going to be like? I mean, they can go to your website and send you an email. They can sign up for some additional free learning. But if they want to talk to you, if they want to talk to you about bringing you into the organization, the first thing I would say is it's very much a consulting and coaching. And it's very much that you have real live bullets that have been shot at you, quote, in the sales arena. This isn't something that you're on the books only side of consulting,
right,
or coaching. But what's that like? What can people expect when they say, hey, Eric, I'd like to talk to you because we need help?
Yeah. So there's two ways that when I come into the situation, and it's an advantage of my experience, as you're talking about, is I have the scars, right? So when it comes to the practical aspects of a sales plan, documented behaviors for the team, core fundamental tactical elements of how you're generating revenue for your company. That's the consultant in me. You know, that's the part where, and obviously leadership experience through those years as well. And often when consultants come in, they have an agenda, they have a plan, they have a program, and they're going to overlay that over your company. And I often joke, they're going to mm-hmm. cram that corner in somewhere and mm-hmm. say, all right, this is how we're doing it. This is my quote unquote method. So I don't do that. So I'm there for that part of it. But as a coach and looking at your organization with that lens, I'm constantly looking at ways to magnify the talent you have within your organization. So we have to come to an understanding, and to your point, when they reach out, we kind of have an initial discussion around this. Is like, how do you feel about the talent within your organization? And of course, I have to realize who I'm talking to, you know, and you may not have all the background on coaching and what it can do. But what does that look like to you? And, you know, where do you think some of the gaps are as the leader of that team or that company? And then we're going to look at our ability to magnify this sense of unity to get to a level five situation within your organization. We'll actually have, as part of the initial conversation, a way for me to understand how much of that's going on today. And then once we look at, okay, this is who I've got, and this is where I want to go, how do we get there now? And here's the most important thing I'm going to tell you is that I am not the guy with the answer to that question. You're the expert, right? You bring the expertise as the team leader, as the executive, as the business owner in that situation. I'm going to help you get to those answers and break the obstacles down that have been there before. There could be situations, we talked about them yesterday, Gail, right? You don't want to run into Gail.
Right.
She's not nice.
Right.
Where you just think, oh, I've tried a consultant, came in here, spent 2 years, I spent X amount of dollars and nothing changed. After they left, it all went away. And it literally did, because their agenda and their program went away. And this is not to belittle consultants. I mean, they have a way to approach something, and it can be very impactful.
Right.
When you look at what I'm doing differently there, is that I am getting everyone in your organization to get past their own limiting beliefs, right? Their own situations where they think, I can't achieve this, or I'm never going to be happy in this company, or we kind of get to some of those issues and get them out of the way quickly. So, you know, we'll talk about the scope and scale of where you want to go and what you want to do. And I will be candid with you if I don't think I'm the guy, you know, because I'm not the process individual. I'm not, when it comes to sales and sales plans, sure. If you need process across your entire organization, operational, well, I have friends for that,
right,
that might be able to help you there.
The other thing, and I've enjoyed getting to know you, I've enjoyed learning from you. One of the many things I appreciate, though, is you're not looking for a 5-year contract. You're not even looking for a 2-year contract, really. I mean, if you're not seeing things happening, you're the one saying, okay, this, you want to see things change and happen, or you're not going
to
be there.
Yes. Yeah. I'm looking to teach you how to fish, right? Instead of just feeding you in that situation. And what's actually happening there is you're feeding me.
Right.
So there is an approach to coaching that's looking to elevate the individual into that level five mindset, right? Once that begins to happen, boy, barriers start dropping consistently. And there will come a point where if I'm around too long, we're going to have a conversation about, you know, something's missing here. Something's just not clicking the way it should. We're not seeing the lift from the team that we should be seeing. But, you know, I also don't want us to get to that point of the conversation, because once you get a sales plan down and you understand how to approach that, and you've got level five going on and everybody's kind of aware and actively, consciously making leadership decisions on a regular basis, that's not something that takes 5 years to do.
His name is Eric Reynolds. You're listening to episode 4 of the Level 5 podcast. Again, LVL5consulting.com, at EQR Coach on Facebook, or Eric Q. Reynolds on LinkedIn. Today, we are talking about you becoming, all of us becoming, a next generation leader. And it's interesting, this is our topic. Earlier this week, I had an opportunity to work with one of our youngest team members, graduate of College of the Ozarks last semester, has done some great work for us. And I told her, I said, okay, you're going to take some projects over. So now it was me giving her the details. And when you talk Steve Willoughby in details, that is a very scary situation to do. But Eric, I actually had to have this conversation with my, there was a time I was like, I'm just going to take care of this myself. I'm just going to take care of it. I could have had it done. And it was like, no, that's not what leaders do. Mm-hmm. Put on your big boy panties, pay attention, get this done, get her all the information she needs, because it's going to be growth for her. It's going to be, she's going to take better care of the people we're talking about here than you are. And you're can go do what you do, that you don't have to necessarily sit there and think as much as you're doing now.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's really part of it, but that's an area I suck in. I mean, you know, and I think to be a great leader, you got to be better at it, and you got to be able to hand off. Because if I would have just said, here, take this and let her figure it out, I guess that's a way to handle it, but that's not how I wanted to do it. I wanted certain things done certain ways. So it was sitting through and going through that. I don't know if that quote makes me a next generation leader, but it is something I've got to be better at. And you talk about here understanding your weaknesses.
Yeah.
Help me out there. What should I have done there? Should I have brought somebody else in to help that process?
Well, I think that, first of all, kudos for just taking the step to train, right, in that scenario. And giving that person the understanding that they are accountable for these activities going forward. Because that delegating and you knowing your weakness, you can simply think of it as your weaknesses are other people's opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Is there pretty much always a state of plenty to do around Dynacom?
Yeah.
You know, come in and kick back with your feet on the desk and fire up the cigar. And
I look forward to that. I do. It's probably not going to be next week.
Yeah. A word I think I made up is hecticity. There's always a certain amount of hecticity going on, right? And sometimes that meter is going off the scale. So when you look at those, there's, in that sense, there's always an opportunity for someone to engage somewhere around some process. So looking at it in one sense, which is, oh gosh, you know, I got to go do this myself. I got to, all that's catabolic, level one, I'm a victim of this company, you know, I got to, or you're looking at it from, how do I give this new individual some wins, right? How do I play to give them some opportunities to demonstrate what they're capable of? And, you know, you have to be objective in those situations as well. I do not want to sit here and tell you it's always happy endings.
Right.
Because you might come to find out that, wow, I hired this person, but they really struggle across several key areas that I need them to be accountable for in this organization, and they can't. But guess what? That's a good thing that you know that information. It's good for you. It's good for them. As long as you're approaching them in the sense of, these are really the four core areas I needed you to, you know, for your role and your responsibilities and accountability. It's not working out. I think you're great in this, but unfortunately, I don't have something like that in my organization. You are giving that someone a gift. Because if they can go find a role in that, or maybe you help them into a role, you can't look at it in the sense of you're wronging someone or you are somehow hurting them in some way, right? The truth doesn't hurt. You just have to be sure. Well, it can hurt. I'll be realistic. Right. Emotionally, it can hurt. But you just have to be sure that you are doing it in a way that's, again, it's anabolic, right? It's giving them the opportunity. And I don't want that to be sound like a fancy, happy way to let people go or things along those lines or a way to rationalize it. But how many people, you've probably heard stories like this. I know it's happened to me where, man, I was pissed off the day that I got fired from an organization, because it happens in sales.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reorg, or there's a company that comes in with buys you, and there's already a sales team there. And you're so torqued that day, you're torqued for weeks. And then 2 months later, you're going, it's the best thing that ever happened
right,
to me.
Right.
I think we can all understand that sentiment, right?
100%.
So it's...
Garth Brooks calls them unanswered prayers.
There you go.
You know?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, I get it.
Yes.
And let's take that a little further. I mean, you can do that at the end, but one of the things we want to do here is do it at the beginning. This same young lady... obviously had not been to a lot of job interviews and that type of thing. And I'll never forget, it'll make the book someday. We interviewed her. We hired her. Before then, we started talking about revenue and that type of thing. And her answer was sweet and innocent. And I told her, never say that again in another job interview. Because it was basically, you know, if I could just make this, I would be fine. And you, I think she actually said, you don't have to pay me any more than that. And I said, okay. I said, never say that again. Yeah, yes. I mean, you know, this is not how, because we want you to grow. And even last week she did a project and I said, you need to take one of these things you created. You need to save it. You need to make sure that it's put away so you can both digitally and physically, you can say, I created this so you can build your resume, portfolio. And that's what I want to, that's what I want to do. And I've actually had people say, well, they're going to leave you. I said, not everybody's going to be here the whole time. I'm not looking for a whole organization of 30-year employees. Number one, I'd be 90 years old, so whatever. Yeah. But that's not the strength. That's not what I'm looking for. I want strong individuals that are staying because they want to stay, not individuals that stay because they don't have any other choice.
Right, so, right. Well, you know, Steve, if they leave, there's only one person like that one in the world. Right. So you want to talk about the concept of lack mentality. We could have a whole podcast around that. But you, this is, you know, everybody sit down, strap in the seatbelt. Your role as a company is to bring people in and empower them such that they are now taking a position outside of your company for some form of advancement that you can't offer them in your company. Because they are going to say great things about your organization. And if you actually have that model developed, my point is you've got people coming in right behind them.
Yeah.
You know, you are magnetizing people to your effort. And it goes back to what you're saying of people, you know, there's a shortage, right? Well, maybe they just don't want to work for you.
Right.
Because when you are doing that with an individual and they know that you're actually, they're working within an environment that promotes the best of them in that situation, and they take that to other organizations and promotes the best of them, I'm sorry, that's God's work right there. That's a beautiful thing that those people are going out into other organizations and looking how they can uplift other individuals. And there's plenty to go around. There's plenty to go around. So, great example.
Episode 4, Level 5 Podcast. We're talking how can you become a next generation leader. And we got a little time, but we're starting to wrap up here. This is based off Andy Stanley's book, and I guess you would recommend, and I haven't read this book. I think I need to. Yes. But you would recommend the book, obviously, or you wouldn't be doing the podcast around it.
Yeah, one of the things as we wrap up that I'd love to talk about that I think is really critical as it relates to energy and energy leadership is he stresses this concept of the difference between being careful and fearful.
Okay.
Okay. And we talk about fear as a strong level one component, right? Mm-hmm. In that situation, careful/thoughtful in those situations is very different. And when you look at situations where you are not able to understand the difference between those two and decisions that you're making, you really need to kind of brush it up against that comparison. Like, okay, you can be careful all day. You can, we're not going to move in that area because we're going to be careful with this. You're fearful in that case. You can fearful the plane right into the side of the mountain. On the careful side of things, you're really looking at it to make sure that whatever of this team that you have, right, this group of individuals that you have led and empowered through your organization is not impacted negatively by whatever actions that you're taking. So it never hurts. For example, one component of level five, which we kind of wrap on this, is that everybody's involved. We're not going to do this unless we're all going to win, right? So in that case, there has to be a certain amount of carefulness that you're approaching it with. You have to make sure you get everybody's feedback into that and they're committed to the win for their particular department or their particular area. Fearful in that case is knowing when to recognize that someone in that group might be going level one on you because of a bad experience somewhere else or because of something, you know, to your point, they have a right to their feedback and you should listen to that feedback. But one of the great aspects of this book that I do recommend is it goes into detail on this topic. And it's a good way to sit down and recognize, which one of those two am I being?
John Maxwell calls it the law of the lid. I think I've mentioned that before. And when we're talking about that next generation leader, you know, one of the things I talk about the leadership team, and I got to be careful here because we do believe everybody's a leader, but we also have a leadership team, you know, as we move forward. And, you know, maybe almost too much, I'm talking to the leadership team, we got to own this.
Yeah.
You know, this is not our people's problem. This is us. We're either accepting or coaching, you know, taught or allowed. And if we don't get better, we're not going to be at level six and achieve at a level eight. We're the ones that have to grow up this scale as leaders.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah. And, you know, that's exactly on the spot, and you can look at it in a variety of different scenarios, you know. We talked about my war analogies I like to make. Everybody would think, you know, World War II, Patton was just a, you know, no fear, no whatever, just charge forward. Some would say reckless abandon to attack, attack, attack. Patton definitely had an attack, attack, attack mentality, but often highly underrated as to how careful and thoughtful he did so. He was more about doing what he thought the enemy did not expect him to do. He was unpredictable. And that's a very powerful thing in a competitive landscape. If you are unpredictable, if another competitor knows you're going to come into this presentation and you're going to say this, this, and this, then you probably have a bunch of sales individuals that are going off of a script because they think that's the right thing to do and not really leveraging their personality and their, you know, in the room, so to speak. So there's a big difference on how Patton in that case approached. He was not fearful, but he was very careful in his actions. So it's and there's a story, I don't know if it's confirmed out there, of a conversation with Winston Churchill and Bernard Montgomery, who was the British general, Patton's essentially equivalent in the British Army at the time. And Churchill saying to Montgomery, you know, the difference between you and Patton and the Germans is that if the Germans know that Patton is coming, they're afraid. If they know that you're coming, they might just feel prepared. So not that, you know, they didn't worry about it, but they're like, okay, because we know what Monty does.
Right.
So there's an interesting distinction there, but it's something as a leader to keep in mind.
Well, I mean, one of my weaknesses is I can talk things to death sometimes, and sometimes it's like, we got to go, you know, and my team will tell me that. John Fantro, okay, you're right. Let's just get it done, you know, and I like talking a little bit too much, but we got to implement in order to move forward.
Yeah.
So
if your competition feels prepared when they're going up against you, then you got to think about how you're approaching that, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And what is that customer thinking and what is that customer thinking you're going to do? I mean, it's why I like talking about this, really, because there's no, I guess I got to be a little careful, but great leadership. I mean, we talked football last week with your Steelers, and a great football coach comes in and all of a sudden he or she, look at LSU with Mulkey, I think is her name. Sure. I mean, you know, whether you like them, whether you don't like them, there's that great energy of leadership that comes in and things change.
Yes.
And as I look at what's happening, things are changing, but are they changing enough? Well, that's on you, hotshot. So figure it out and do better in leading.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
So you're listening to Level 5. You're listening to Eric. You're thinking, how would this help me? Well, first of all, go to LVL5consulting.com. Do some research on Eric. Reach out to Eric and talk to him. I think you're going to find that, number one, it's a conversation focused on your success, and it's not a conversation focused on somebody that believes you have all of the answers and all of that. You're going to be asking right. why a whole bunch when you have that conversation. But whether you're going to do that or not do that, I mean, ultimately we want you to talk with Eric, but do something. If you mm-hmm. need to be a better leader, do something, because there's yeah. nothing that maximizes your company than being a better leader. And especially if you're a family organization, I mean, really take a look at that, because just because somebody was married into the family does not make them a leader. Just because dad was a great leader doesn't mean that the daughter's going to be a great leader. I mean, really take a look at that. Now, I believe everybody can improve on their leadership, and I believe everybody can become a great leader, but yeah. that's not going to happen just because you've moved from 23 to 30 now. It's what you're learning and what you're implementing.
Yeah, they may not have a passion for it.
Right.
You know, if they don't have a passion for leadership, if that's not something that really drives them, then they won't become a good leader in that sense. And family businesses are always intriguing.
Yes.
Generational change in leadership is profound in those organizations and is a delicate matter in it for a lot of reasons. But you're right. Just because that is the appropriate line of succession from a bloodline standpoint, you can cite many monarchies that are no longer here around the world mm-hmm. because that was the plan, right? It didn't matter what you were next in line. So if there are passions there, develop them. If they're not, you know, uncover that and understand how to best move forward.
And while it is true that it is always somebody's sandbox, mm-hmm. and, you know, this isn't my sandbox, I'm working for somebody else. At the same time, if you're always saying, well, it's their sandbox, they're going to make the rules, and I'm just going to follow them, if you are saying that on a regular basis, maybe it's time for you to be in a new sandbox.
That's right.
Because
That's right.
You've got to understand it. You've got to buy into it, or you're not going to be the... I spent too much time lying in front of a sales group. They knew I was lying. Everybody knew we weren't looking at reality, and I don't want that for other people, and I don't want to do that the next 30 years of my life.
Yeah. Grab your toys, move yep. to the next sandbox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And new opportunities.
New opportunity. Yep.
Man, I had fun today. I hope yeah, are you having
you,
fun
Steve.
With this?
This
or
is
are you,
fantastic.
Are you dreading it every time
oh,
you come
no,
in here?
No, no, no. I love coming up with the material that we talk about, and I love talking about it with you. So this has been great.
And he loves talking leadership with you and helping businesses move forward. He's not looking for you to, he's not looking for a 5-year contract. He's looking at none of that. He's looking at your success. So reach out to Eric, LVL5consulting.com, on Facebook at EQR Coach, and at LinkedIn, Eric Q. Reynolds. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Steve. Thanks.